And a lot of times you'll find in the Bible where praise and preaching goes together. Amen. Preaching will stand by itself, but it sure would be a twofold cord hard to break if you can put praise and preaching both together. And if you can put that threefold cord together, praying, praising, and preaching, I promise you that's a cord that won't be broken. Amen. But anyway, Peter's preaching the message here, and he makes a statement at the close in verse 26, and he says, "Unto you first, God, having raised up His Son, Jesus, sent Him." I mean, just those two words right there, we could shout about that. Sent Him. Sent Him. Sent Him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. And so we note that this verse is talking about salvation. Jesus was sent to save. We quoted some verses this morning. Luke 19:10 verifies the purpose for which Jesus came was to save. He didn't come down here to be successful or to win popularity contests. He came down here for the sole purpose of paying the sin debt so that sinners could be saved. Okay? And so we know that's why He came. There's verse after verse that verifies that's why He came. He came to save. He didn't come, the Bible said He didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So we know without question He came to save. He come to save. Amen? But this verse says, He was sent to bless you. So you say, is that a contradiction? No, that's the same statement. Him coming to save us is also Him coming to bless us. Because He couldn't bless you until you get saved. Amen. The way that God intended. So we note this verse is talking about, I believe, salvation. And it states here that Jesus was sent to bless you. And so in that light, I've been preaching this morning, started anyway, on the blessedness of salvation. God said that salvation, what God's Son come down here to do, is described here as to bless you. Amen. And when He saves you, He didn't come down here to blister you or to bind you. But He came down here to bless you. And we ought to act like that He's blessed us. We that are saved, we ought to act like that salvation is a blessing. Amen. We ought to talk like that salvation is a blessing. We ought to live like salvation is a blessing. Anybody that looks at our life or listens to us, my friend, they ought to get the impression that being saved is absolutely wonderful. Amen. We should never live nor talk in any way that would cause sinners to think salvation is not good. Never. We ought to let them know salvation is wonderful. And I mentioned this morning, I think it's worth repeating, that many of them don't want what we got because they already think they got what we got. Because a lot of saved people don't live any different than lost people live. Talk the same. Do the same, go to the same places and so forth, and dress alike, and listen to the same music, and all of that. Therefore, sinners think they already are like you. So that when we're then when you mention about them being saved, they're going to say, saved? You're saved? We had a lady come here several years ago, just missed, and they didn't join or anything. And this lady worked with another family in our church, or another man in our church on the job in a factory. And of course, he didn't know they were coming, and they didn't know he went to church here. And he told me after the service, he said, "Preacher," he said, "I've worked with that lady for years and years." And he said, "I have never seen one thing out of her life that it would testify that she's saved. In fact, the contrary was the truth." He said, "In fact, things I hear out of her and things I see in her life, her morals, her behavior, her conduct, her words, her language," he said, "seems to indicate that she's lost. But yet she said she's saved." See right there, that sends a bad message. That sends a bad message to sinners. When they see you and I or hear us or whatever, and they see us walking in the same direction they are, amen. Light and darkness can't get along. Amen. Light and darkness can't get along. Amen. That's why when I preach to these young people, you know, get right with God, walk in the light as He is in the light. And my friend, I promise you, you won't attract a bunch of heathens. They won't be a bunch of heathens wanting your phone number if you're living for God. Amen. Because darkness will not be attracted to light. But rather, when the light is turned on, the darkness will flee. Say amen right there. You say, but I won't never have nobody. Well, it's better to be alone than in bad company. And that wasn't said by a preacher. That was said by a president of the United States. It's better to be alone than in bad company. So for instance, let me just kill that rabbit while it's running. Let's say for instance, you know, that you toned down your convictions and you toned down your Christianity and you toned down your spirituality and yeah, you do get somebody. Well then later on, somewhere down the road, if you're really saved, you're going to want to get right with God somewhere. You're going to be sick of being sick of being sick of being sick of being sick. You're going to be sick of being miserable and you're going to want to get right with God. And then when you get right with God and He don't want to or she don't want to, then there's going to be trouble at the house. So it's best to just go ahead and get right with God, live that life, and then let God send you somebody. Say amen right there. That's good preaching, I think. Amen. But anyway, he's talking about the blessing. Salvation is a blessing. God sent His Son here to bless you. Now think about that. If He sent His Son to bless me and bless you, bless us, that means we weren't blessed before He got here. That also means we couldn't be blessed in the light of this verse until Jesus come or unless Jesus come. And it's only through Christ that this blessing can be bestowed. Amen. But what we talked about this morning, we talked about, first of all, the initiative of this blessing. The initiative. Unto you first, God, having raised up His Son, Jesus, sent Him to bless you. That is, God done a lot of work. He was in motion. He had you on His mind. He was advancing towards sinners before sinners ever even knew about it. Amen. The plan of salvation was put together in eternity past. I'm talking about the initiative. God made the first move. God took the first steps in our direction. And I preached that this morning. It was an initiative of God. He did it. Nobody made Him. Nobody told Him. Nobody forced Him. It was of His own will and love and compassion and mercy that He made a step in our direction. He didn't have to. When Adam fell in the garden and sin entered the picture, God did not have to ask nobody. God would have not had to have explained Himself to anybody had He stepped in, annihilated Adam and Eve, wiped them off the face of the earth, created Him another man and another woman, and started all over. But God's not about to let the devil outdo Him. Had He done that, Brother McCarricker, the devil would have won. And God would have been forced to start over. But God says, I tell you what, devil, you think you've outdone me? I want you to know that in eternity past, the Godhead knew this day was coming, and we've already got a plan. We've already got a redemption. We've got a Redeemer. Jesus Christ is going to come to this world, live as a man, live among men, die as a man, and going to satisfy the wrath of God. And oh, listen. And God could have said, now devil, you thought you won? Let me just let you in on a little something. You've actually made it, as far as eternity's in view, you've made it better for them. I made it better for them. Adam failed. I fell into sin. And I made it better for them. Oh, yeah. Because before Adam fell, the highest position he could ever reign on would be just simply an earthly son of Adam. That's as high as you and I could have ever went, a son of Adam. Adam could have just never went no higher than what he was created. You'll get this after a while. Adam could have went no higher than what he was created. But when he got saved, you know, through the redemption plan, and got saved, now we can go beyond sons of Adam. Amen. And we can become sons of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Brother, I'm telling you, God's plan outbeats the devil's plan. Yeah, amen. But we're talking about the initiative of blessing. It was the initiative of God. It was the initiative of grace. God moving in the direction of people that weren't for Him, was against Him, and so forth. We preached that about that this morning. And then it was initiative for good. The Bible said that He was sent to bless you. Sent to bless you. I think you can see without any explanation that has to mean good. He's wanting to bless you. That is, He's wanting to do for you what you need, what you cannot do for yourself. Let's move on to a second truth this morning, or this evening, whenever it is. Amen. It's been a long week and long day. But I want you to notice something else in this verse. Let's look at it and read it again. See if you can pick up my next point. Unto you first, God, having raised up His Son Jesus, sent Him to bless you in turning every one of you from his iniquities. So we have, first of all, the initiative of blessing. Now I want to talk about, number two, what makes salvation such a blessing. Not only the initiative, but the inclusion. I want you to notice the inclusion of this blessing. What do you mean, the inclusion? Notice this, the third word. Unto you, say it, first. Say it with me. Unto you, first. Now, when you study your Bible, here's something you need to be reminded of. If you don't know it, you need to learn this. And most of you do know that. And that is this. When you see the word first in the Bible, it always implies that there's another, a second, or more. Why else use the word first? If it's not a first in order, if it's not in a first of order, then why use the word first? If it's the only, then why use the word first? He used the word first, dealing with Jews, and said unto you first, not unto you only, but unto you first. God said, I've got somebody else I'm going after, Gentiles.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Hallelujah, that's right. Let me give you an example to prove what I just said. What is Adam called in the Bible? The first Adam. Jesus is also called Adam. But he's called what? All of you are wrong. Brother Adam. He's called the last Adam. See, because now get this. The reason he didn't say second, the reason he didn't call Jesus the second Adam, because Our same law that we're learning here would still be in motion. If there's a first, there's a second. And if there's a second, then there's got to be a third. And if there's a third, there's got to be a fourth. But when Adam was called the first Adam, and Jesus was called the last Adam, that we just don't look for no more. We don't need no more. Jesus is the final say-so. He's the final payment. He is the Savior. And when He cried, "It is finished, brother," you can't add to that. He's the last Adam.
Amen.
Let me give you another example about the word first. Sunday is called the what day of the week? The first day of the week. Sunday is called the first day of the week. Why? Because that implies there's more in the order. There's six more of them, in fact. So when he come into this verse and Peter says, "And unto you first, God, having raised..." Now, if he had to put that word first in there, we might be in trouble. This verse wouldn't mean as much to me. If he had just said unto you, God having raised up His Son Jesus, sent Him to bless you, I said, well, he's talking that to the Jews only. You know, see, this Bible, all of it's not to me. It is all for me. Y'all need to get that principle. You're going to get crossed up in the Bible in your studies if you think all of this is to you. We've got false doctrine being preached around this part of the country every week, my friend, because they take passages that deals with the Jews and they apply them to the church. The Jews and the church are not one and the same.
Amen.
Amen. Say it with me. Amen. That's right. Amen. Just good Bible study, my friend, to clear up a lot of this false teaching going around. Amen. And, amen. But notice this. It did not say unto you, but it said unto you first. That automatically brings in an inclusion that there's another. Amen. And that's us. Let me give you the verse. Y'all ready for this verse? I quoted this morning, but it's worth it doing it again. Romans 1:16. Listen to our word pop out in that verse. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Not to the Jew only, but to the Jew first. I like that.
Amen.
You know, we'll quote John 1 and 11. He came to his own. That's Jews. He came to his own, but his own received him not. But that's not all that context. The next verse says, but as many as received him, that's us, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So you have in verse 11 the Jews. They rejected it. Verse 12, the door swung wide open to whosoever will, anybody, anywhere, anytime, now can be saved.
Amen.
Through Jesus Christ. Amen. Said to the Jew first, and also the Greeks, what Romans 1:16 said, and then John 1:11, he came to his own received him not, but to his men who received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm talking about the inclusion. Now, I don't want y'all to get too excited about this point, because there was a time when you had no hope. You had no hope of being saved. Can I read your history? Some of you look like you need a history lesson. Let me see if I can find it right here. Listen to this right here. Wherefore, remember that ye being in times past Gentiles. We're talking about Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 11. Remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called circumcision, in the flesh made by hands. Listen, here's your history. Here's your history. Here's your prior condition. That at that time, what time? That time you was Gentiles. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens. Everybody know what an alien is? That's somebody that don't belong. That's somebody that's here but don't belong here. They have no attachments here. They have no permission here. They have no privileges here. They're not wanted here. God said, we were aliens. Aliens from what? The commonwealth of Israel. And we were strangers from the covenants of promise. Not one covenant in the Old Testament, not one covenant was ever made with Gentiles. Not one promise was given to Gentiles. I'm going to give it to you in a second. But listen to this. Let's finish this. We were strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you know who that is, don't you? That's the one that was sent to bless us. That's the one that was dispatched from heaven with a commission to come down here and save us, amen. Bless us. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off, you Gentiles who were afar off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You, listen. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. There was a wall, buddy, that kept us from being able to be involved in what the Jews had going on. There was a middle wall of partition. There was a middle wall of separation. And God's Old Testament focus was to the Jews. Are you listening? Not Gentiles. You'll find a few Gentiles scattered through the Old Testament that were proselytes. They were proselyte. That is, they confessed the Jews' religion and came in that way. But God's Old Testament focus was Jews. But here he said that middle Jesus, the one that was sent down here to bless us, he could not bless us because of the wall. So therefore he had to tear it down. Don't get too excited about that. I wouldn't blame you either. I wouldn't get too excited about that. Jesus couldn't get to us until he tore down the wall. The wall had to be dealt with. What was restricting us from getting to God and from God getting to us, and what separated us from the Old Testament apple of God's eye, had to be torn down. Listen, I'm not through reading yet. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments, listen, contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of the twain, that is Jew and Gentile, of the twain, one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And came and preached peace to you, which were afar off. He came and preached peace to us, who were afar off, and to them that were nigh. Same message. And through him we both, who's the both? Jew and Gentile. We both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. There's three identities in that text. And you can find all three of them. I believe it's one of the, either in the last chapter of 1 Corinthians, or the last chapter of 2 Corinthians, right in there you'll find all three of the identities mentioned together. Here you find them in here. I just seen as I was reading it. You have the Jews, you have the Gentiles, to begin with, separated with the wall of partition. Jesus came down here and tore down the wall. And through his cross, Jew and Gentile alike, when they believe, becomes one new man in Christ. Are no more foreigners. We're no more foreigners, outcast, rejects. But now we're not strangers, but fellow citizens. Here's the third identity, with the saints. You have the Jew, the Gentile, and the Church of God. When you're born in this world, you're born with an identity of either being a Jew or a Gentile. But when you get saved, you lose that national identity, and now you have a spiritual identity, and that is God takes both believing Jew and believing Gentiles and puts them into a church. Puts them into the body of Christ. I'm talking about salvation is a blessing in its inclusion. I tell you what we'll do right now. We ought to say, hallelujah, I've been included. Thank God He included me. Because there was a time that we were not included. Not one covenant given to you. Not one promise in the Old Testament given to Gentiles. Listen to this. Some of you are looking a little strange. Amen. Listen to this. I've read these verses before, but I'm going to read them again. I want to be called a Bible preacher. If I preach it, I want to be able to show you, hey, right here it is. Listen to what the Bible says in Romans 9. I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren. He's talking about his Jews there, his Jewish national brethren. He said, I could wish myself accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. And watch this. Who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises. Try it. But oh, big things happen when you believe. Big things happen when you trust God. Big things happen when you get saved. Because I tell you what happens. Let me just show you what happens. Y'all pray for me. I want to get done with this tonight if I can. I want to get done before y'all get done. How's that? Listen to what the Bible said in Romans 9. Romans 11. See, Jesus was sent to this world to bless us. He was sent to be the Savior. And the Bible said that He came to His own received Him not. We didn't quote that 4 or 5 times. John 1:11. But we find that in Romans chapter number 11, verse number 8, now don't let you stumble over this. You won't be able to explain it, and I can't either, but it's there. The Bible said that God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they shouldn't see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And then verse number 11, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles. See, there's another fall the devil thought he won in. I just seen that. See, he thought he won in the first fall when Adam fell. But God reversed that, brought in the plan of redemption, and let you and I become sons and daughters of God and be able to enjoy the glory world forever as the bride of Christ. Hallelujah. But here's another fall he thought he won on. Man, it's getting big. Yeah, he thought when the Jews rejected Christ and they fell, that the devil thought, yep, I won again. No, God says, I tell you what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. Through their fall, salvation is going to come to the Gentiles. God is saying, I tell you what, yeah, they did fall, but you didn't win. I've got a bigger plan. God's never going to let the devil make the last move. He's never going to be outdone, my friend, by the devil in nations or in your personal life. And so here the Jews reject Christ and they fall. But God took and through their fall extended the gospel to the Gentile world. You say, what's he going to do? Well, listen, here's what happened. Here's what happened, if I can read it. In verse number 17, the Jews are called the olive branch. And he said that the natural branch, and when they failed and rejected Christ, they were broken off. They were broken off. And what happened was, when God extended salvation to the Gentiles, the Bible said He reached out and He's bringing in now a wild olive branch and grafted it in. That's us. We've been grafted in. And we've become one with the vine. Amen. We weren't... Oh, Lord, help us. Anything grafted in wasn't naturally part of that tree or that vine. But if the graft works like it's supposed to do, and we know that it can do, brother, you do landscape, then what is brought in, grafted in, my friend, that vine reaches and says, hey, you're a branch of mine. and it becomes one with the vine, and it bears fruit when the whole time it wasn't even supposed to be in the picture. It wasn't even supposed to be in the plan. But God reached out and grafted in a wild olive branch, the Gentiles, and brought us into the plan of God. Oh, we ought to shout about that tonight. I'm talking about the inclusion of blessing. And that people that was not a people is now the people of God. You say, preacher, what's he going to do with that other bunch? What's he going to do with the Jews? He's not done with them. They may be broken off, but they're not thrown away. Because when God made a covenant, brother, with David and all those in the Old Testament, my friend, listen, it's got to come to pass. God's not through with the Davidic covenant with Israel. They've not had that kingdom that God promised them yet either. Oh, I wish somebody would help me tonight. I'd shout her from the housetop, but He will. Jesus, the Son of David, hallelujah, is going to sit on the throne. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Verse 20 of that Romans 11. Well, because of their unbelief, they were broken off. Are you listening? God spared not the natural branches. Take heed, lest He also spare thee not. And He goes on down, and I believe it's verse number 23. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. So He's going to turn back again to the Jews. And woe be unto America. Woe be unto America if we ever turn against the Jews. You count on it, friend. Listen, I'm not preaching politics right here. It don't make no difference who you vote for. Amen. You'll stand for the Lord for that. I'm not trying to persuade you, but I will tell you this. If a Muslim goes into the White House and they despise the Jews, they hate the Jews, they've been fighting the Jews ever since Isaac and Ishmael, I promise you he will fight against the Jews. He will lead this country against the Jews. He will turn this country, brother, against the Jews. You can count on it. And our country has sunk, buddy, when that happens. Amen. I don't care if you like it or not. It don't bother me one bit. Amen. I could say more on that, but I don't know what spirit's of. Amen. But the inclusion of blessing. We've been included. Number three, let me hasten on. Not only have we talked about the initiative of blessing, the inclusion of blessing. You say, preacher, how are you getting all that out of that verse? I did what Brother Mark preached and taught this morning in Sunday school. I meditated on that verse and meditated on that verse and chewed on the verse and prayed over the verse, knowing there was something there in that verse God wanted me to see. Meditating on the Word of God is a lost art in the house of God. Reading the Bible will never grow you. It'll never fill you. It'll never feed you. Reading alone. Just reading the Bible. It's when you get in that book and that book gets in you and you begin to feed on it and you begin to meditate on it and God, the author of that book, begins through His Spirit inside you. He begins to unfold and unveil the blessed truths hidden in that passage. I'm telling you, it will fire you up.
Amen.
Amen. Try it. I want a preacher that'll feed me, but I tell you what you ought to do in the pew. You ought to say, God, I'm glad you bless the preacher and you give him something for us. Lord, I appreciate that. But Lord, I want some first-hand information. I want you to give me something. I want you to feed me. Amen. The preacher, listen, the preacher don't have no special monopoly on the Word of God. Back, what was it in the Dark Ages when they wouldn't let the people have the Bible? Was it the Dark Ages? You know, the people weren't permitted to read the Bible. They weren't even permitted to have a Bible. And therefore, they had to depend on what whatever that was standing in the pulpit. You know, whatever he taught, whatever he said. Amen. That's right. That's why the Catholic doctrine, that's why the majority of it, if not just almost every bit of it, is man-made. Anybody who just simply study the Bible knows good and well that Mary is not the co-redemptrix and co-mediatrix with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm not saved by His part and her part working together as a co-partner team. I am not.
Amen.
I am saved alone by Jesus Christ and Him alone. I'm not taken away from Mary. She was a blessed woman.
Yes.
Amen. She was a blessed woman. Thank God she was a pure woman. Not sinless, not sinless, not immaculate as that doctrine teaches, but yes, clean. I really esteem her, and I give her the praise, I guess, that she deserved for saying no to temptations and keeping herself clean.
Amen.
And God used her as a vessel to bring in the Lord Jesus Christ
Amen.
Into this world.
Amen.
But it all started from people not having a Bible, not studying for themselves, and having to take a man's word for it. You got a Bible. In fact, you probably got several. There's no excuse today for us to be ignorant. There's too many tools for us to have. There's too many tools available for us to be ignorant of what this Bible teaches.
Amen.
That's right. God never has put a premium on ignorance. Never. Amen. Never. Never put a premium on ignorance. God said, and it's not said to preachers, God said this to believers, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God. Amen. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Why did he say rightly dividing? Because if you don't, you could wrongly divide it. And that's where false teaching comes, is from a wrong division of the word of God. And by the way, that verse also says, I'm getting off on another thing here, but that verse also says, that if you're going to study that Bible right, it's got to be divided. Amen. That's right. That book's got to be divided dispensationally. That book's got to be divided dispensationally. That book's got to be divided nationally. Like I said a while ago, you can't take that book and passages that deals with the Israel and say that that's talking to the church. You can't do that. Well, amen. Our theology lesson number 10. But not only have we seen the initiative of blessing, the inclusion of blessing, but thirdly, there is the instrument of blessing, and that's Jesus. Unto you first, God, having raised up His Son, Jesus sent Him to bless you. God cannot bless you directly. I want you to get this. You're liable to shout if you do. Or at least have joy in your soul. God cannot bless you directly. Because you were under condemnation. You was a transgressor of God's law. And if God dealt with you one-on-one, He had nothing to deal with you with except wrath and judgment and justice. So God planned a way that He could be both just and the justifier of them that believe. How did He do that? See, He couldn't deal with me directly except lest He judge me. So God says, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to step right into their world, become the Son of Man, live a perfect life. And I'm going to be their substitute. I'm going to be their ambassador. I'm going to be their representative. And they're going to be, when they trust me and receive me, they're going to become one with me. And God can bless me. God can bless Jesus because He's perfect. I'm talking about the instrument of blessing. God can't bless you individually, directly. God has to bless you in Jesus. In fact, I'll tell you how strong it is. Nobody will go to heaven unless they're in Jesus. Everybody outside of Jesus, my friend, everybody outside of Jesus is under judgment because they're still sinners. When you get saved, oh Lord, help us. When you get saved, here's what happens. The Spirit of God takes and baptizes you at that moment into the body of Christ. That's why the Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are where? In Christ. God cannot deal with me and bless me directly, but He also can't deal with Jesus in judgment. Because Jesus has never sinned. Jesus is perfect. Jesus has got the favor of God, whereas when I was lost, I had the judgment of God. But when I repented of my sin and turned from what I was and went to Jesus and got saved, the Spirit of God, my friend, put me into Christ, and now I stand in the righteousness of the Son of God. Hallelujah. You tell me why we can't get excited about that. That's big. That's bigger than anything we've got a hold of in a long time. I'm talking about the instrument of blessing. Jesus is my instrument of blessing. I am blessed tonight. I am blessed with salvation, not because of my practice, not because of my performance, not because of my personal perfections. I don't have much. And I tell you, in Christ, thank God I'm saved. Hallelujah. In the Lord. Lord have mercy. Man, that's good. That truth right there is good, praise the Lord. You know, we can shout all night about Him being the Son of God, and rightfully so. But Jesus, if He only was the Son of God, He could have never saved us. He had to become the Son of Man. Man, I got a headache as I back up. But what a way to go, amen. Oh, listen, He had to become the Son of Man. What did that mean? Why should we shout about that? Why should that feed us? I'll tell you why. Brother, listen, the only person qualified to redeem us had to be a kinsman. But Seals, I'm about to blow a fuse. If He was the Son of God, He could have never redeemed me because God and man could never be kin. Because man is sinful and God is holy. So God allowed, through His Son Jesus, stepped into our world, become the Son of Man, so that He could be our kinsman, qualified to redeem us from the curse of the law. And I'm blessed today because of Him. That's why we ought to shout and praise the Lord when somebody sings about Jesus, when somebody preaches about Jesus. My friend, if you get saved, you ought to let everybody know, I am not ashamed of being born again. The instrument. See, salvation wasn't here. It could not be found here. That's why the Bible said that God raised up His Son and sent Him. Salvation had to be brought here. Titus 1:11, I preached on that four services, you remember? Just the other week, 2 weeks in a row. 11, 12, 13, and 14. And verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Salvation had to be brought here. I've been studying on a verse. I'm telling you, I believe God's going to let me preach it one day soon. John 1:17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came. Get those two words. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the instrument. Jesus is the channel. You're not saved apart from Christ. You're not saved by any other religious activity. You're not saved, my friend, of morality. You're not saved by sincerity. You're saved by Christ. If you're not in Christ, you're not saved. And I can tell you the way you know you're in Christ is because the Spirit of God is in you. The Spirit of God is not in you, then you are not His. Romans 8 and verse 9 says that. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of His. That's how I know I'm in Christ, is because Christ is in me in the person of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Don't trust the salvation 2 seconds that don't allow the Spirit of God to be in your life. In you. He is my seal.
Yes, sir.
I've been sealed, Brother Hickman. I've been sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise.
Amen.
Holy Spirit is my earnest. He's my earnest. Ephesians 1, what is it, 1:13? He's my earnest. You know what earnest means? It's not that fellow that played in the movies. But he's my earnest. That is, he's my down payment.
Amen.
He's my pledge.
Amen.
He's my promise. He's my engagement. In other words, I know the full payment, salvation. I'm getting into something here that's going to take too long to deal with. The full salvation. I'm guaranteed of that because of the Holy Spirit in me. You say, I thought you'd saved. What do you mean full salvation? I'm not fully saved yet. My body's not saved yet. Don't cut me off yet. Up to now, you said, preacher, you're a Bible preacher. I don't know where you're at now. Just hang on. I can prove it. I'm not out in left field.
Amen.
That's right. What was I on anyway? Yeah, there we go. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 tells us right there we're waiting to wit the redemption of our body. As far as my destiny is concerned, I am fully and completely and finally and forever saved. That took place when I got saved, when I asked Jesus to save me. My friend, I was forever, finally, and fully, and for sure saved right then and there concerning my destiny. I am heaven bound with a hammer down, buddy. My destiny settled, secure forever. It's up, y'all up for discussion. But I am every day now, I'm being saved. See, I was saved permanently from the penalty of sin. I am being saved every day from the power and dominion and control and influence of sin. But one day, I'm talking about that full, salvation full, amen? Payment, taken care of, done deal, over. One day I'm going to be saved from the presence of sin, Hebrews 9:28. He's coming, brother, to take me out of this world. I will then and there be saved from the presence of sin. I'll be saying goodbye, devil, goodbye, flesh, goodbye, wall, goodbye, sin. Hallelujah, I'm headed to the house.
Amen.
My soul. Feel like I'm preaching like a novice, Brother Jacob. Amen. Hallelujah. The instrument of blessing. Let me close with this. If you're going to shout, you better have already done it. I doubt you'll do much here. Not only see the initiative of blessing, the inclusion of blessing, the instrument of blessing, but also, number 3, there's the intention of blessing. He was sent to bless us, and what's His intention? What is His plan? What is He wanting to accomplish? Here it is. Last part of verse. His Son Jesus sent to bless you, here it is, in turning away every one of you from His iniquities.
Amen.
Can we say amen right there?
Amen.
We ought to be able to shout about the other points. But we ought to all equally be able to say hallelujah for that point. I could have never been severed from my sin. It's condemnation, it's control, or nothing until Jesus got in my life. Till I got saved, then He expresses right here that a part of that blessed salvation is that He is turning every one of you away from. It's Him that's turning you away from the sin, the iniquities. Now common sense, if you look at that verse just with plain old Tennessee Hawkins County common sense, will tell you that if they've not been turned from sin, then they're not saved. And this part of the country is full of people that claim to be saved and they live every day of their life. I'm talking about living in sin. Loving it. Practicing it. Eating it up. And then tell you they're saved. The Bible said Jesus come. When He comes, here's what He's going to do. If He ever comes, He comes to this world, He's going to do it. If He gets in your life, He's going to do it. He's going to turn you from your sin. Once you, listen, this is, I'm going to have to be done right here. But listen to this. Listen to this. Give me another hour at least. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Lord, help us. Amen. I couldn't handle it another hour. I don't believe. You'd have to roll me out in a stretcher. But listen. Boy, this is good. I'm telling you, this is good. He's wanting to turn us away from our sin. He can't have fellowship with me as long as I've got sin in my life. He wants to change... Turn me from sin. Here's the sure sign of knowing you're saved is that He changes your mind about sin. Amen. Right. Y'all agree with that?
Right.
Don't matter if you do or not. It's in the Bible. 2 Corinthians 5:17, one of many verses. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. Brother, when you get saved, God makes a new creature out of you. What do you mean new? He gives you a new life. He gives you a new Lord. He gives you a new love, gives you new longings, gives you a new language.
Amen.
Amen. Listen to this new language that I got 27 years ago. Praise the Lord!
Yeah. Yeah.
That's good. Listen to this new language I got 27 years ago, and I didn't go to language school to get it either. I got saved, and it came in with the salvation. It was a package deal. Had to go to school to learn English. I didn't have to go to school to learn this. All I had to do is get saved. Listen to another. Listen to some more of that new language. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Bless the Lord. I'm saved.
Amen.
I couldn't say that beforehand. Salvation will change you. It'll change your mind. Listen, come here right quick. Here's a whole other message. I'll get throw this out. You can study on it. Let me get it right here. Listen. It'll change your attitude. Change your attitude toward the Savior. Man, that's preachable right there. You can preach a house down with that. To change your attitude toward the Savior. It'll change your attitude toward the saints. It'll change your attitude. These are not in order, but it'll change your attitude toward sin. Change your attitude toward sinners. It'll change your attitude toward the Scriptures.
Yes, sir. Right.
It'll change your attitude toward singing. It'll change your attitude toward the preaching or the servant of God. The sermons. It'll change your attitude toward Sunday school. It'll change your attitude toward your spouse. Amen. It'll change your attitude about that, and it'll change your attitude toward the devil, amen. Satan.
Right.
It'll change your attitude toward, you won't be fond of him.
Amen.
You won't be fond of him. You'll be wanting off that. You won't be going the opposite direction of him. Change your mind. Change it. Change it. Salvation didn't change you. You ain't saved. You'll never live long enough to convince me from this Bible that a person that's never been changed of God is saved. There's no way to believe that. Amen.
Amen.
Like I said this morning, I don't have the authority to tell anybody they're saved or not saved. I can't tell them. But I tell you one thing. I can lay this book out there and say, here's what the Bible says about being saved. Here are Bible evidences of being saved. Here is fruit of a believer. Here is a mark of a believer.
Amen.
And I'm just going to tell you, friend, if this book right here don't tell you that you're saved, you better junk your profession. I know that's pretty stout. Amen. And I know most churches around here couldn't take it either. Most churches around here would done run me plumb out of the country. But guess what? I'm not over at their church and I'm not pastoring their church. I'm here at RBT Express. And I'll tell you what I believe God's done and going to do and is doing. Hallelujah. He's going to populate these pews. He's going to put people in here that wants the truth. Amen. I believe that. My soul and the mercy. The intention of blessing. Let me give you this. You can break it down. You can study it on when you get home. I'm about preached out. I want you to notice something. The prospects of that intention. It's worth mentioning. I'm not going to preach on it, but it's worth mentioning. The prospects of that intention. He said, He sent to bless you in turning, here's the prospects, every one of you away from his iniquities. It's not just God wants to clean up the preacher so he can preach. Amen. It's not just God wanting to clean up two or three, and you know God's got a position sanctification. You know, if you're going to hold a position in church, you need to live this way. But if not, you can live any other way. No, brother, I want to tell you, God says that He sent His Son to bless you in turning every one of you away from His iniquities. There's the prospects.
Amen.
That's God's will for you. He's wanting to turn you from your sin. You can't have the Savior in sin too. Amen. Let Him turn you. You say, preacher, I'm supposed to turn. Let Him turn you. That verse says He's the one that's going to be turning every one of you away from His iniquities. He'll do it. If you'll love Him and let Him lead you and you follow Him, I'll tell you what He'll do. He will turn you. Oh, boy, this is good right here. I was just going to mention it, but this is good. You know how He does it? He don't really just come in and say, now quit that, stop that, don't do that, don't do that, don't talk this way, and don't... No. He just says, come right over here. Let me show you myself. In other words, He turns you toward Himself. He turns you to Christ's likeness. He turns you into a Christward direction. And in doing that, He's turning you from where and what you were.
Amen.
See, that part people don't see. They only see this. Well, you mean, preacher, if I get saved, I can't cuss no more? You mean, preacher, if I get saved, am I drinking and dancing and fornicating and dice rolling and all of that's over with? Yeah, that's right. But that's just a byproduct. The deal is, buddy, when you get saved, you get to turn in a Godward direction. God is leading you toward Himself and molding and conforming you into the image of His dear Son. Y'all help me, would you please? Amen. We're being conformed to the image of His dear Son. You say, preacher, how's He doing that? It's simple. Illustrated by this. One time a fellow walked up to a sculptor. And he said, what are you making? Oh, he said, I'm making an elephant. An elephant? I don't see no elephant. All I see is just a blob mass of stone or whatever this material is. I don't see no elephant. He said, what's your plan? Oh, he said, it's simple. He said, I'm just going to take these tools right here and I'm going to knock off everything that don't look like an elephant.
Amen.
Oh, buddy, I want to tell you, when God got a hold of me, there was no cross-likeness. I was far from it. Amen. And I'll tell you, buddy, for 27 years, He's been taking the chisel and the hammer of the Word of God, and He's been knocking off attitudes. He's been knocking off this and that don't look like Jesus. And when He gets done, you say, preacher, you mean He's going to get done? Oh, yeah. He's going to... Y'all forgive me for having such a good time, will you? But He's going to get done. Beloved, Now are we the sons of God.
Amen.
And it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall, here it is, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. You say, preacher, you don't look like much. He's not done yet. He's not done yet, folks. He's still working on me. That little kid song. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. How's it go? Y'all don't know it right now. Took it just a week to make the sun and the moon. Moon and the stars and Jupiter and Mars. And how loving and patient He must be. He's still working on me. Oh, buddy, I'm telling you, he's the only one who can do it. I said He's all, Lord help us. I'm telling you, I've been looking for a quitting place, but I'm telling you, it's getting good. It's getting better and better. I'm telling you, folks, listen. Listen, only God could do it. Only God could take you from what you was. I mean, just think of what you were and take you from that and begin to work on you and begin to work on you and begin to work on you and, brother, turn you into Christians. The choir a while ago was full of people that would have never imagined they'd ever been in a choir 20, 30 years ago. You said, preacher, what's the secret? I don't listen. All I know is He, the Son of God, became the Son of Man, that we, the sons of men, can become the sons of God. He left heaven and came to earth so we can go from earth to heaven. All I know is He's got a big plan. I'm right in the middle of it. And when He gets done, I'm going to be in His likeness. And then they say, preaching ain't work. Lord, help their ignorance. The intention, let me give you this. The prospects of His intention, every one of you. The power of His intention, turning away. That is, He brings a reversal into your life. And then the purity of His intention. Turning every one of you away from your sin. Now watch this right here. Can I give you one other truth? Boy, this right here is a blessing. This right here is a blessing. Matthew 14:19. Turn there. I'm just going to skip it down to this and give it to you. I want you to look at Matthew 14:19. Brother Craig, you got your seatbelt on, brother? All right, fasten it, brother. It's good. I can't leave this and off. I'd have nightmares if I went home tonight and not give you this. Matthew. What's that say? Matthew 14, was it? 14:19. Look at this. Y'all going to get... Listen, if you can get a hold of this, you might be happy on the work job tomorrow.
Amen.
Look at this. What does it mean for Christ to bless me? I'm going to give you this and I'm done. What does it mean for Christ to bless me? The same word used in our verse, Acts 3:26. Christ sent to bless you is right here used. Matthew 14. Some of you done ahead of me. Matthew 14:19. This is the story of the lad who gave his lunch to the Lord. Here's what it says in verse 18. He said, bring them hither to me. Let's read verse 17. And they said unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said, bring them hither to me. Now remember, there's a multitude sitting there. A multitude that were hungry. All he had was what? 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down. Now we know that multitude consisted of at least 5,000. And if you added the women and children in that, it's probably some, maybe could even push 15,000. But we know at least 5,000. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, oh, here's our word. He blessed, and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and to the disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. What does it mean? What does it mean for Christ to bless us? It means the same as demonstrated right there. That when Christ blessed something, it goes far beyond what it could ever have done without its blessing. Those two fish, those five loaves and two fishes, at best, could have fed a little old boy one little old small lunch, and he'd have been hungry in about 4 hours. But I'll tell you, when Jesus got a hold of it, hallelujah, and blessed it, amen, guess what? It just started going, and it just started spreading. And before you know it, what was once only enough for a little boy, after he put his blessing on it, the Lord blessed it, amen. Guess what happened? My friend, a multitude had their needs met because one person allowed what little they had to be blessed of God.
Amen.
Christ was sent to bless us. He wants to bless you so that you can exceed all boundaries. I'm talking about every... Listen, you think, preacher, I'm just a little old me up here in the hills of Tennessee. God can't do much with me. Let Him save you and let Him bless you. Brother, watch what happens.